May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 1080. 1080. To Jesus, our victorious Lord, the praises of our lives belong. Forever be his name adored, sweet theme of every thankful song. Hymn 1080.
The Holy Word of God, we'll read together this evening the Gospel according to Luke chapter 24. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us. May he teach us how to pray. Kind and gracious and most merciful Lord, Lord, once more we gather ourselves around thy word. And once more the blessing ask. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to grant to us each the help we need to worship thee this evening. Oh, may it not prove a task, Lord, but may it be a time of the Son of Man, a time of his appearing to our souls in the power and glory of the revelation of the Holy Spirit upon us. We pray that he may come in power, taking of the things of Jesus and revealing them unto us, granting the power upon the reading and the preaching of thy word. And oh, we pray, Lord, that thou glorify thyself here this evening as we meet for worship. Oh, Lord, we thank thee for the multitude of thy mercies. Lord, thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Thou hast lengthened out our days. And Lord, is it not that thou wilt bless us in the lengthening out of our days? Oh, we pray that it might prove to be so with each one. Lord, at that set time to favour us personally, might be now. Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant us thy blessing, that thou wilt command the blessing, even life forevermore. Oh, Lord, we come before thee with sinful hearts. Lord, we pray for a spirit of true confession. We pray, Lord, that thy light, the light of thy gospel, might shine into our hearts, that there might be those things revealed to us personally, that thou, Lord, show us where we have sinned. Lord, that thou would reveal to us each something of our fallen nature, the corruptions of our hearts. And though we pray, Lord, that thou wilt show us in these things our needs as sinners before thee. Bring to our knowledge, Lord, the certainty of the judgment day and something of that never-ending eternity. Grant, Lord, that we may be found persuaded that there is mercy with thee. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant us each that gift of living faith. And Lord, that thou wilt work that mighty work of grace in our hearts to bring us into true repentance over sin, that we may mourn for him, oh, that we might be found looking to him and pleading for that mercy in the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, grant us each that cleansing from our sin. Lord, we pray for the application, Lord, the application of that blood, that it might be applied to the doorposts and lintels of our souls. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Lord, we pray that thou remember us in our low estate. Visit us with thy salvation. Grant, Lord, the lifting up of our heads. Raise up beggars from the dunghill. Set them among princes. Oh, grant them, Lord, that expectation of glory at last. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt take each by the hand and lead us heavenward. May we know union and communion with thee. Lord, we pray for that close walk. We pray to be led and taught by thy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that thou deal with us as thou dost deal with thy children. Lord, where we are needing correction, Lord, do grant that correcting. Lord, do chasten us as needed. Lord, we pray for those true evidences of the new birth, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. We pray, Lord, that we may know thy gracious hand working in our lives. Lord, do meet with any who are walking in the ways of sin, any, Lord, who may be in a state of unconcern. Oh, Lord, do meet with them in the way and turn them out of that way, lead them in that right way. Bring them onto that straight and narrow way which leads to eternal life. Lord, do remember this church and congregation. Thou hast been their help. Leave them not, neither forsake them. O God of their salvation, O Lord, do bless the preaching of thy gospel here. And do help each who stand in this pulpit. And Lord, may there ever be a people here to serve thee, to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Ever, Lord, grant a people in this place who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Look upon this village in thy mercy. Do, Lord, gather in from this locality. Lord, do bring it into concern those in this neighbourhood. Lord, may they be found coming into this house of prayer. And Lord, do glorify thyself, that this might be the birthplace of many children. May it be testified concerning this place: there the Lord met me, there the Lord blessed me. O Lord, we pray that thou glorify thyself in adding to the church from the congregation. Do build them up in numbers and in their most holy faith. Do pour out thy Spirit upon them. And grant the unity of the Spirit, that they may endeavour to keep it in the bond of peace. Grant, Lord, that thy blessing might rest upon the children. Lord, we pray for the Sunday school. We pray for the teachers. Lord, those things that are done in their early years, may they be used of thee. That the bread cast upon the waters may be found after many days. Lord, that thy work might appear to the encouragement of the teachers, those that minister the word here. Lord, do remember both this village and this surrounding district. Remember our nation, Lord. Do pour out thy Spirit upon us. Do turn the tide of sin and iniquity. Do, Lord, remember us in this dark and evil day we are called to live. Lord, it is a difficult day in many respects. Lord, there is much things, naturally speaking, which bring ease. And oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt work in the souls of those that live in this nation, that there may be that turning from idolatry to serve the living God. We pray, Lord, that thou pour out thy Spirit in the church up and down this land. Lord, that thou glorify thyself in our day and generation. Lord, we pray that we may live to see better days in the church. A day of building up. A day, Lord, when many are called out of darkness into thy marvellous light. The day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we pray Lord, that thou wilt not remove the candlestick. Lord, that thou wilt ever grant thy Spirit's work. Oh Lord, how needful we are of that reviving. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Do deliver us, Lord, from the will of wicked people. Lord, deliver us from the power of sin and Satan. Do help us each in our walk. Lord, we pray that thou remember the children, the young people, and each in their individual lives, those paths, Lord, that they are called to walk. Help us to walk worthy and to be those lights shining in this dark world, to witness a good witness, one that honours thee. Oh Lord, do keep us from sinning and grieving thee, bringing reproach on thy holy name. Oh Lord, do keep us by thy grace. Keep Satan from us, his thoughts and temptations. Lord, do keep us from all the many snares that there are. Lord, do grant us that we may be truly wise unto salvation. Lord, we pray, have mercy upon us. Lord, remember our King and Queen and the royal household, our Prime Minister and those in Parliament, those that have authority over us. Lord, we deserve thy judgments. There is much wickedness and evil laws brought into our statute book, things that are forbidden in thy holy word. Evil is called good and good evil. We live in a day of much confusion, and Satan seems at times to have the upper hand. We wonder, Lord, where these things will end. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt arise for our help, that thou wilt make bare thy holy arm, that thou wilt turn and overturn all those things which are contrary to thy holy word, that thou wilt, Lord, change the laws that are in our country which are wrong, and set right laws before us again, and bring thy word foremost in our nation once more, and turn the hearts of the people. Lord, from the king downwards, we humbly pray that thou wilt stop this slide into sin and evil. Do hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. O Lord, in much wrath remember mercy. And remember the rising generation. Lord, do encourage them. O Lord, do pour out thy Spirit upon them. And Lord, do use mightily the rising generation. Do, Lord, thrust out thy labourers into the harvest to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And may we not have a famine of hearing the word of God. But Lord, that thou wilt send forth thy servants, equipped of thee, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do follow with thy blessing the preaching of thy word. Do, Lord, profit and prosper the distribution of thy word to the four corners of the earth. And Lord, do further thy gospel. Grant that success, the power of the Holy Spirit attending the word. May it be so here even this night. O Lord, though it delivered in weakness, may it be received in power, and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. May there be those things for us to take home. May we have Ruth's portion, something to beat out and to live on in the days ahead. Forgive us, Lord, our every sin. Forgive us, Lord, the sins that are mixed with our worship. Forgive anything spoken amiss, anything thought amiss. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We ask these things, Lord Jesus, the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus Christ's sake, we ask. Amen.
Hymn number 515, 515. Holy Ghost, we look to thee, raise the dead, the captive free, from the mighty take the prey, teach the weak to watch and pray. Hymn 515.
will you turn with me to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verse 29. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. This first day of the week, it began with so much sadness, so much sorrow in the experience of the followers of the Lord Jesus. It was a day which began full of sorrow, and a day which began with much confusion, and yet, oh, a day like no other, a glorious day. It is the reason that we meet on the first day of the week as a Christian church. It is a remembrance of the resurrection day, the day the Lord rose from the dead, a glorious day. Well, as the day went on, in the experience of those followers of the Lord, the day in their experience changed. And what began with sadness and confusion ended with the glorious appearing of a risen Saviour. Thomas accepted. But oh, this is a glorious day. A glorious day. In our reading this evening, where our text is found, it's the account of those two on the road to Emmaus, a well-known passage of Scripture. And really what stands out from that account is the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, his love to these two poor, needy disciples, these followers of the Lord. Oh, they were confused. Their hearts were sad. But they marked the Lord's tender compassion. There they were walking away from Jerusalem, their hearts filled with sorrow. And what do we find? That as they talked together and of all the things which had happened, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Oh, I wonder if there's a few here this evening, and in your little way, you know something of this. In your little experience, you know something of what it feels like for Jesus himself to draw near. To draw near to you in the preaching of the word, to draw near to you in your reading of the word, to draw near to you while you're pouring out your heart before him in your prayer, to maybe talk with one another the day before, and then you come to the house of God, and it's like the Lord was with you the day before as the preaching unfolds. It was, looking back, Jesus in the place. Jesus was there listening. Oh, there a nearness felt, his notice, his presence. Well, their eyes were holden. They couldn't see him for who he was, and yet they heard his voice. And he drew out from them all the things that were troubling them. And poor sinners this evening, this same Jesus still draws out those things that trouble his poor, unworthy people. Though he still has an ear to hear those things that trouble you. I want to speak as simply as I can. You know, maybe there's a few children here, young people, older friends. You've got some things before you. You know, you've got new things. You've got things that are lying before you. Oh, that you might know what it is to tell it unto Jesus, that you might find that place whereby you may pour out your heart. Oh, written over the throne of grace, what things? What is it that's troubling you this evening? What things? Oh, there is a place to tell, isn't it? And maybe we're quick to tell our fellow creature and fill his ear of all the sad tale of our woe. Friends, is it not the throne of his grace to pour out your heart before him? God is a refuge for us, says the psalmist. Selah. God is a refuge, a very present help in trouble. And oh, there's the place for us in a gospel day to tell the Lord all that concerns us. With them it was confusion. We thought we had heard this, he had said this, and we thought it meant that. And what about you and me? No, we have the word of God. We hear the preaching of the word. And the two things seem to come together. And we think this means this and that means that. And we think this will unfold for us. We think that one, that particular door will be opened up to us. And then it's not. And then that's shut. And then that's stopped. And then we're left in confusion. And was it false leadings? Was it leadings at all? Was it just leanings? Leaning to our own understanding? Friends, what need we have of the Lord's gracious teaching? Oh, and how true it is, as was said to them, it could be said to every one of us, surely. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Oh, we are, aren't we? Oh, if we think of it, we really are, aren't we? Fools and slow of heart to believe. But the Lord is good and gracious. And with them, began at Moses and all the prophets, and he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Oh, what a sweet walk that must have been. The Lord Jesus Christ, preaching Christ to them. Christ crucified. Oh, the necessity of it. His glorious life, death, and resurrection. Oh, what a sermon that must have been. Friends, what sweet times those are, aren't they? When it's Christ and Him crucified that is opened up to our understanding, well, they drew nigh. They came toward their destination. They arrived at the village where they were going. And the Lord Jesus, He makes as though He was to go further. Oh, they've reached the destination. And He carries, or intimates His carrying on going further. They constrained Him. Oh, this is such a beautiful word, isn't it? It acted upon compulsion. They were compelled. And He was compelled to abide with them. They were compelled to constrain Him. They were compelled to ask that He would abide. Why? Oh, because they wanted to hear more. Oh, they weren't clear. It wasn't clear in their minds who He was. But they had heard His voice. And friends, they didn't know it was the Lord Jesus Himself, but they had heard. They had heard of Him. And those gracious words had left and made an impression. It had an effect. And I wonder if you and I know anything of this. Oh, has the preaching and the reading of the Word of God ever left you wanting more? Wanting more. Not loathing, but longing. Not loathing, but longing. I often think of my old pastor. He said to me once, he said, "Tim, when you go out preaching," he said, it'll be a wonderful thing if you leave the people longing and not loathing." Well, friends, this is the effect. This is the effect. That they were longing to hear more. Oh, they had reached where they were going. He went, made as though He would have gone further. But they said to Him, "Abide with us. Abide with us." You know, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says this. He says, "The love of Christ constraineth us." The love of Christ constraineth us. Well, they constrained Him. These poor, unworthy sinners who, in the Word of God, it's revealed, were lacking in understanding when that walk began. They constrained Him. That simple request made from a longing heart, "Abide with us. Spend some more time with us. Don't continue with the journey. Tarry with us. Abide with us." The two unworthy sinners might detain, as it were, the Lord of glory on this resurrection day. Oh, friends, what compassion, what tender heart that the Lord Jesus here displays, that he, the Lord of glory, was detained at the request of these two poor sinners. They constrained him. They constrained him. Their desire was to hear more. More of his gracious words, whoever he was. They wanted to spend more time with him and hear more from his lips. Think of what moved him. He was constrained by them. His heart was touched by them. His affections, his desire, he was moved in his compassion to turn in with them and to spend more of his time with them. They constrained him. He was constrained by them. And what was it that constrained him? What was it? Love. Love. It was love that moved him. It was love toward them that moved him. It was love that joined him with them on that road. It was love that communed with them, that reasoned with them, that spoke with them. It was love that drew out from them all of those things that were troubling them. And it was love that is displayed here in this entering in to the place with them and tarrying and abiding with them. It was love. And you see, friends, there's love at both ends of the matter. There's love at both ends. The words that he spoke, well, we're told that he spoke, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they loved. They loved to hear it. And they loved the Saviour. And you see this love in operation. That this constraining of them abide with us. It is love that calls and asks and makes this request. They were moved with love. They were moved with love. You know, thinking of this, my mind went to Mark's Gospel and that incident when we read of that demonic man of Gadarea, and we read of his healing, that the Lord removed, didn't he? Drove out of him that legion of devils. He'd asked, "What is thy name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And they were... The devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine," and he did. He gave them leave. They entered into the swine, and the swine ran down a steep place into the sea. And we then read that they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devils and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. There was a great change upon this lunatic, this demonic man. A great change. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. Now, there's two things here, and may the Lord help us each to take notice. And listen to this. This is so solemn to me. And they heard of this, and we're told, and this is Mark 5, verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They didn't want him with them. They saw what he had done, how he changed that man, and what was the effect? They began to pray him to depart, not to abide, not to remain and heal and convert and bless souls, but to depart. To depart out of their coasts. The complete opposite of our two on the road to Emmaus. The complete opposite from that request, abide with us. This is depart from us. Depart from us. Oh, what a spirit to be in. To have no desire. They've heard of what the Lord did. They'd seen it, the evidence of it was sitting in front of them. There he was, he who was unapproachable, a madman, a fierce one, couldn't be bound with fetters and chains. And here he was, clothed and sitting in his right mind. And the effect of it, was it worship, was it praise? Was it a desire that he might come and bless them as he blessed that man? The effect was this. They began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. What a difference. And you listen to this. Verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devils prayed him that he might be with him. You cannot have in two verses two complete opposites. Is there more starker contrast? On the one hand, there are those that desired and prayed that he would depart, and there's that man out of whom that legion of devils has been cast. And what's his desire? He prayed the Lord Jesus, that he might be with him. That he might be with him. Oh, well, I wonder, how's it with you, friend? How's it with me? Oh, are you among those like that man of Gadarene? Are you like him? You pray that you might be with him. Oh, the Lord's made some impression upon you in your life. Oh, there's a desire in your heart to be with him. Oh, to know more of him. To know more of his communications. To know more of his love. To hear more of his voice. To see more of his face by faith. Is that the effect? Is that the desire of your heart? Oh, may none of us be left to have the desire of those of the place that says, depart, having no desire to hear him, no desire to see him, would rather be away from him than with him. Friends, what is it? What is the difference? It's the love It's the love of Christ shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's receiving of the things of Jesus. It's knowing it, isn't it, in the heart. The effect of the word of the Lord in the heart. Well, these two on the road to Emmaus, they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening and a day is far spent." And we read those beautiful words, and he went in to tarry with them. And will it not be so for you, poor sinner? It's toward evening. The day is far spent. Any of you know what it is to come to the end of the Sabbath day? And it's now disappointing. Monday's lying before you. The Sabbath day is over. It's toward evening. The day is far spent. Is there anything in your heart that cries out, "Abide with me"? Abide with me, Lord. That you, children and young people, and older friends in the week that we've begun, the days that lie ahead of us, as you come to the end of the Sabbath, your heart cries out, does it cry out, "Abide with us"? Abide with us. Oh, you want the Lord to go with you? You've come to the end of the Sabbath and you dread going into the week. You dread Monday morning without the Lord. Can you go alone? Can you go without him? Oh, is it not like that with you as it was with Moses? If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Oh, you don't want a 1 day a week religion. It's a 7 day week one. It's the Lord to go with you in every untrodden step. It's his abiding presence that you need. You need him in the house of prayer. You need him in your own home. You need him at work. You need him at school. You need him at all times. His abiding presence is essential. Oh, you dread the times, the feeling of isolation and loneliness. You dread it, the thought that you might go alone. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. What did the Lord say? My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Oh, do you see it as essential? The Lord with you. That the Lord with you. The Lord promised Moses, "Certainly I will be with thee." He'd have him plead it. Gave it to him at the burning bush. "Certainly I will be with thee." And Moses needed it right through. And Moses must plead it. And dear friends, the promise of God, he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But that's there surely for you and I to plead, isn't it? Lord, thou hast said. And you know, friends, the word of God is true. And he will not leave his people. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And he means it. And it will not be broken. It cannot, that word will not and cannot fail. But do we feel it? And do you know the difference when you feel it and when you don't feel it? He doesn't come and go, as it were. But at times, oh, the sense that we might have of his, the hiding of his face, Like Job, we're brought at times into these places where we cannot find him. He says, I go forward. This is Job 23, verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. Oh, I can trace out his work and his goings, but can I behold him? Oh, can I feel his presence? I can see his work, see his hand working in my life, but I cannot behold him. I can't rest on him. I can't trace him. I can't see his face. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. And oh, friends, is that what you know at times? And that's what you fear. Those times where he hides his face. When you come to that same place, he knoweth the way that I take. He knows what he's doing. He's ordering all things well. He doeth all things well. And I must rest. He knows the way that I take. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, because it is trying, isn't it? Job says, I shall come forth as gold. I shall. You know that the Lord, he trieth the righteous. And blessed be his name as he does. But the way of the wicked, he turneth it upside down. But he tries the righteous. And they're bettered for it. They're the better for it. They know more of him. Every trial of their faith works for their real eternal good. They're needful, necessary. The Lord knows what he's doing. And all this for them, abide with us. And you and I this evening, you know, this is surely the Church of God's prayerful desire. And I pray it's the prayerful desire of the Church of God here. It is essential, isn't it? For the local Church of God, wherever it is found, abide with us. Oh, the promise of the Word of God is that he'll never leave his people. But at times that there is a removing of the candlestick from the local church. When the Lord is grieved, a grieving of the Holy Spirit of God, there's a withdrawing of his influence and power from among them. Surely this is the prayerful desire. Collectively, abide with us. Abide with us. We need, Lord, thy abiding presence. The worship is in vain without the Lord. Oh, we might try and worship, but without the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. We sung of it, didn't we? The person and power of the Holy Spirit is essential. We sang it. Thine it is the church to bless and to comfort in distress. Trembling helpless souls to guide, safe to Jesus' wounded side. Abide with us. Oh, friends, when the Holy Spirit is in the midst, guiding sinners to the wounded side, the hands, feet and side of the Lord Jesus, it is the power of the cross of Christ. It is the power upon the preaching of the word and taking of the things of Jesus and revealing them unto the people. And it is that leading out of self and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Abide with us. Abide with us. Collectively and individually. Abide with us. Or maybe it's for you this evening, and it's not us. You say, abide with me. Abide with me. It's the evening time of life. They constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening. You say, Lord, abide with me. It's toward evening. Oh, you've known something of him in the way. You can look back over all the way the Lord your God has led you. Now you're entering the evening time of life, or you're in the evening time of life. The shadows are lengthening on the earth, and all the signs and the evidence that you're in the evening time of life is upon you. What is it, poor sinner, this evening? And how can you stare into what would be so much uncertainty? You've not walked this way heretofore. What lies before you? An unknown way. Many have walked it, but none have come back in that sense. And what is it before you? And how will you do in the swellings of Jordan? If we've run with the horses and they've wearied thee, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Oh, is it not? Abide with me. Oh, is it not now more than ever you need the Lord? Is that not what you found day by day? The more you've gone on, the more you've needed. The more you've had to lean, the harder and harder you've had to lean on him. Now your cry, your prayer is abide with me. It is toward evening. The day of my life, it's far spent. Oh, what tokens has he given you? What evidences has he given you along the way? He brought to take stock. He brought to see you. What have you? What has the Lord given you? Has he given you something from his word? Caused you to hope upon his word? Brought you to look to him, to trust in him? Have you in some measure done it? You've been constrained by his love. You've been moved in your desires from the world and the sin and evil to the things of God. You've had to look beyond yourself, out of yourself, and you've got to look to the Lord Jesus. And in looking to him, you've found some comfort and you've had some peace in your soul. Now it's coming down to the time. And it's the evening time. Now it's abide with me. It's abide with me, Lord. Oh, it's none but Jesus. One by one the props have been removed. One by one the pillar's been taken. What's remaining? The word of the Lord endureth forever. Oh, those things that he's spoken, the things that are written in his word, the things concerning himself, that's your hope. That's your foundation. What Christ Jesus has done for his poor unworthy people, going on before as a good shepherd, tasting death, passing through the article of death, bringing them safely through at last. The resurrection morning was a glorious day. Death had no hold on the Lord Jesus. Every child of God has that witness in the resurrection of Jesus of their safety and their security. Every single one of them have that seal to their faith. The Lord is risen indeed. The Lord is risen indeed. What he said was finished in that triumphant cry at the cross is now confirmed in his resurrection. It's finished. Sin is put away. An everlasting salvation is brought in. Oh, a safe passage through death, leading to glory. Death is that passage that leads the soul to glory. And let's abide with us. Friends, those that have that desire, oh, that the Lord would be with them. Friends, you'll not be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And you've proved it in the waters that have washed over your life, over you in your life. You've proved him, haven't you? You've proved him faithful to his word. Is he not preparing you for this? This water of death that lies before you? Is he not building up your faith that you might be ready when that day comes? Well, they said, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And what was it, friend? What then took place? Well, we're told it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And they knew him. Oh, friends, what a precious thing that is. When the Lord is so constrained by poor, unworthy sinners, that visits them, sits and eats with them, shows them his hands and his feet, reveals those wounds that he received for them. Oh, what an evening. What an evening. Friends, at evening time for them it was light, wasn't it? The light of the glory of God shone into their souls. And as those are brought down to the evening time of life, oh, may it be light with you. May it be the light of the glory of the grace of God shining into your heart. As you have the evening time of your life, the Lord reveals himself, shows you his hands, feet and side. Christ Jesus is revealed and made precious. Oh, then to enter into the glory. Oh, to see him without the cloud between. To pass through death and into his everlasting arms. And there to abide forever and ever. They constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach on Tuesday evening, and there will be a collection after that service for the free Bibles. And Mr. Chapman is engaged to preach next Lord's Day. Our friends at Oakington hold their Thanksgiving service on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1024. 1024. Oh, for a heart to praise the Lord, a heart from sin set free, a heart that's sprinkled with the blood so freely shed for me. Hymn 1024.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.